I know normally as a church, we're doing a series called Route 66 because there's 66 books in the Bible. So we've been covering the history of every book in God's Word. I'm taking one book per week, and we've got 4 points on every book. And that way, any speaker that comes up, and we've been sharing up here a little bit more. And by the way, thanks. How'd Bob Berry do last week? Okay, Bob, get up and do this next one.
Come on, Bob.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, no, I'm thankful to have, a church. We teach the Bible. We want people to know the Bible. So we've had definitely several people come up and do that. But I wasn't sure, because now we have covered Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Tyler preached to us the book of Joshua. It's hard to do that in 1 week, give an overview of a book of the Bible. Bob taught the book of Judges. The next book we're on is the book of Ruth. So I outlined it. I was at this camp this week in West Virginia. And so I'm down there and doing my thing. And at nighttime, I'm putting together the book of Ruth. Well, then as I talked to a few people, I even mentioned to my wife something about Vacation Bible School. She started sending me pictures. I said, this is neat. And she said, I'm not really sure what's going on every day, like, what's happening. And so what I decided to do today is I grabbed my VBS manual, and because I had to learn it too, and, learn the songs and all those type of things. So I grabbed it. And what I want to provide for you this morning is I'm going to preach. I'm going to have 5 points. And you know what the 5 points are going to be? Sunday night. Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday. I'm going to preach VBS for you. So that way, coming into it, because guys, I've learned this as a pastor, that I can preach the Bible and teach things, but what makes a really good preacher is if the Bible first is lived and applied by you. I should always have stories to tell, whatever passage we're in verses that, and even be honest enough to say that I'm struggling in this department over here, but this is what the Bible teaches, so I want to make sure when we come in tonight, I just don't want to look at a child and give him the theme of the night. I want to come in and look at a child and know that, you know what? I've eaten this dog food before I ever served it to you. I eat my own dog food, for some people it's a little bit more raw, but we do our own dope. I'm not just preaching this stuff. I want to go home with my kids to see what I really believe about the Bible, that they see a faith that's not just proclaimed, but a faith that's lived out. So let's do this. Let's talk about this VBS. The title of this VBS is called True North. And then the subtitle is Trusting Jesus in a Wild World. And so True North, I think most of us kind of know what True North is. True North is always a fixed point on a globe. It's actually a little bit different than like magnetic north. People get compasses. Did you know magnetic north can actually adjust a little bit? There's some degrees that can be changed and be off. And every once in a while, it can actually line up with true north. But anyways, true north is a fixed point on the Earth's globe, meaning this, it does not move. Things move around it. It's unchanging. It's reliable. We should know that. True North. If you study, one time we got into watching the stars, people brought some big telescopes in, and I remember they would always talk to us about different constellations and show us. We were able to look up and see things, and like green men living on the moon, you could see them. It was unbelievable. But anyways, there's a constellation called Ursa Minor. And basically, in that constellation is what they call a star, the North Star. Some people call it Polaris, but they got a company branded, and they use their equipment, they brand their equipment that, like, it's solid, it's going to be all that. But it's what we call the North Star. Frequently, you can see it sometimes, the light, and it's almost like it's coming off and on. I don't know what you think about that, but the Bible says there's doors and windows in heaven. I always wonder what that's really going on there. But anyways, in the Bible, there's 3 heavens. Some people don't know that. It's what the Bible teaches. There's 3 heavens. The 3rd heaven is the abode of God. And then we got what we would call like an outer space. And there's one environment surrounding the earth, which would be the first heaven where we could actually, it's sustainable for human beings. But the North Star, people always use it for direction. They use it for guidance, stability in a constant moving world. The world's constantly changing. Hey, culture's constantly changing. We got to be careful, because what we all need, if we're going to go in the right path and be unchanging, unmoving, we need something solid. This is what's wrong with people today. They have no real true north in their life. So therefore, when culture changes, they're driven by every wind that comes along. And they believe everything. And so then people get really, really messed up. And people like say things like matter-of-factly, and they've never even seen it or proved it out. So I just want you to know something, that the Bible is God's word. The Bible is unchanging. It's true. What I love about the Bible, sometimes people get frustrated reading because they're like, well, it don't really give like any details. I've had guys plant churches before and call me and say, hey, you've been in the ministry a while. Can you recommend anything to me like on church planning? Maybe even any books or like, you know, I've went all through the Bible and there's just not a lot of details. Well, the reason why is it gives you true north, and then it's based upon you have a relationship with the Lord. I mean, if it just said do these three things, a lot of churches do that. They'll grab people and say, oh yeah, being a Christian is you got to be at church on Sunday. You know, you got to wear your best, or they'll say get baptized, don't drink. You know, some churches just put rules out there, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I could do those four things and have no relationship with Jesus Christ. This book is alive. This book is the mind of Christ, the Bible says in Corinthians. God intends for you and me to have a relationship. God wants to speak to me. And then, of course, through prayer, I speak back. See, it's a relationship. It's a communication. So what I want to really encourage you to do is we want to know what it's really like to trust Jesus in a world that changes. Trust what he says in a world that gets crazy, right? And the world is crazy because you live in it. Because I'm here. That's why we're human beings. The Bible says we're born in sin. And so it's a wild planet. Everything on it is not good. It can be quite dangerous. So my question for you is, do you have true north? Do you know Jesus Christ? He never moves. He's solid. The Bible says in Malachi, before we enter into the New Testament, Malachi 3 and verse 6, I am the Lord and I change not. Isn't it nice to have something that does not change? Everything else moves. Sorry. We need stability. Hey, what about in a storm? If you have a big house, if you live out in a place, maybe out in the country, Bo moved out into the country several years back, and he's like, oh my gosh, the wind's out here. Like a storm comes. Well, they don't have a ton of trees right up near their house, and so they feel it. It whips across fields and hits their house. In town, we got other houses breaking some of that up for us. But you know what's nice? The house does move. I was on a parking deck the other day walking, and like I could feel it like bouncing. You ever been in the parking deck or a mall? You're standing in a, you're like, oh my gosh, this thing's bouncing, isn't it? You know, but as a whole, a house will move. It's got to have some flex to it. But all of a sudden, what makes that house solid is a foundation. You need a foundation in your life because everything else can get unstable. I've seen houses burn to the ground. They clean up, do their business, and build right upon that foundation again. It didn't get burned up. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 says this, I am the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Meaning, God is consistent. He does not change. I like James 1:17. We used to sing the old hymn, but that verse there says, there's no variableness, neither shadow. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. He's faithful. He's a foundation. I change. I'm prone to wander. He's the same. Just want to give a shout out to Jesus right now and say thank you for dying for us, resurrecting from the grave, doing something that we could not do on our own. The book of Isaiah says this, the flowers, yeah, they'll fade. Grass withers, but the word of the Lord stands forever. It stands forever. Guys, we have a true north. That's why the question we should all ask each other is, what's the Bible say? people come up and say, hey, I'm having trouble in my marriage. Just want to get some advice from you. What's the Bible say? Any situation, that's what I always say. What's the Bible say about that? What's God's word say about that? Hey, what's Jesus think about that? And he's given us his word, right? So that's what we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 says, there's no foundation, other foundation that man can lay than that which is already laid, which is who? Christ Jesus. That's exactly right. So today, I'm preaching a little bit of Jesus to you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, don't think that coming to church cuts it. Church ain't true north. It's supposed to point people that way. But don't think that, or being a good girl or a good guy. Don't think it's your morality. You know, I'm a Christian, and that's funny because I just did a church camp for a bunch of church people. Like, they've been in church their whole life. So here's this senior in high school. He's done nothing but grow up in church. Some families even put him in Christian school. That's their prerogative. Do whatever they want to do. But he comes to church camp, and he's perfectly sanitary and a good little boy. They just think, my gosh, I'm keeping clean. I don't do that. I would never do dope. I would never. They got all these things, and they think they're good boys and girls. Well, if God's going to put us on a good boy and good girl scale, maybe that would be great, but he doesn't do that. The Bible says we're born in sin and we need a Savior. We need Jesus. It's hard for a church kid to realize they need one. The hardest people in the world to reach are religious people by far, because they think they got it going on, right? And of course, the Bible says that nobody has it going on. That's why Christ had to come and give his life for us. Matter of fact, I always love going to Proverbs where he says, let's list the things that God hates. And right at the top of the list is a what? Yep, it's proud. It's a proud look. And so it's nice to do that with church kids, to be able to just say, the number one thing God hates is you and me. You know, because I'm proud. When you're proud, you are God. You think it's your system that's getting you somewhere. So I preached a lot of Jesus. So let's recognize true north today. Let's make sure that our feet has a foundation. By the way, isn't it neat? Because true north is, you know, the point that we find on the globe, right? Or the North Star. So what's awesome for you and me is, like, you've heard people say, like, don't be so heavenly minded that you'll be no earthly good. I've heard that said by grandma, you know. Don't be so heavenly minded. Mind in the sky, right? You know, that you're good, no good down here. But what's awesome about the Bible is if you locate true north and meet the Lord Jesus Christ and get established in his word, the Bible says, what changes is it gives you a foundation. So now I am solid because of true north, my relationship with him. So, and you are supposed to live that out, right? It starts internally for sure, but recognize true north and all of a sudden, yeah, you think it's like, oh, in the sky, like faith, like how do you get faith? Like, well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we hear God's word, true north. And I place my faith on facts. My faith ain't just like, well, I hope so. I'm going to talk about hope here in a little bit. Hope. Like, I just hope so. You know, that's why you ever have somebody tell you, hey, I hope in this hand and go to the bathroom in this one. See which one gets filled faster. You know, and I know what people are saying by that. But when you study God's word, you'll find that hope is actually something very solid. Hope is in a person. Hope is a person. The Lord Jesus Christ. So anyways, you ready for day one of VBS? I am. Let's pray. Ready? Lord, I pray, Lord, get us a little amped up and fired up for what we're going to do each week. Lord, I know the costumes and the looks of the room and having fun, it can very easily override the real purpose of what's happening. Lord, we're going to have children tonight that come from families that give them no stability at all. God, I pray that we can teach them what true stability looks like. I pray they see a group of adults and people, men and women, that really have their act together, not because of anything special, other than we have true north. We've met you, Jesus, and you're the foundation in our life. I pray that's very attractive for a bunch of children that walk in our doors tonight. We're trusting you for that. But first, right now, in just the next several minutes, God, we're asking that you take these lessons, take your word, and solidify our weak hearts. Make them something solid. May we look at our foundation. May we be prepared as adults tonight to give this message out everywhere we go. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Number one, tonight's first theme is when we wonder, we can trust Jesus. That's how our VBSs usually work. We want the kids to remember this by the end of the night, so we're going to say it often. When we wonder, we can trust Jesus. So when we wonder, repeat after me, when we wonder, we can trust Jesus. When we wonder, we can trust Jesus. It's not even the word wander. It's the word wonder, which is kind of interesting. Every night we'll have a key verse, and we'll try to get the children to memorize it. Isn't it weird as an adult? We've seen adults through the years have their group memorize a verse, and that the adult in the group not memorize the verse. You know, I'm like, come on, man, work it with them. It's hard. Memorizing's hard. You know, so then there'll be like a portion of a verse. We're not letting, some of these kids are, I think, what's the age start in kindergarten, is it? 4 years old. Yeah, 4 year old, you know. If a 4 year old busts out a piece of scripture and you can't do it, I'm like, my gosh. So, you know, are you smarter than a kindergartner? You know, well, let's do this. But let's do this thing and let's put it right here. And when we wonder, the key verse we're going to talk about is really about a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And the story, we're going to talk about a couple stories under this point. It's really two stories. And actually, John the Baptist is getting ready to baptize Jesus Christ. And you remember John the Baptist? He's prepping to baptize Jesus Christ. And if you remember, he questions Jesus like, yeah, I shouldn't be baptizing you. Like he's in wonder, like, what's going on here? And Jesus Christ said, this needs to be done. I mean, we're going to fulfill what the Old Testament says. We got to do this thing. And John the Baptist was like weirded out. Even the pictures you'll see in your manual, like John the Baptist is baptized. I'm like, this seems so strange. He's in wonder. You know, he don't quite know. And so, and then another one we're going to cover tonight is when John the Baptist, same character, he's actually at the end of his life. He's done with his ministry and he's in prison and they're getting ready to take off his head. And as they're getting ready to take off John the Baptist's head, he grabs his disciples and says, hey, go find Jesus and ask him if he's who he said he was. Like, go to Jesus and say, like, is he really? Because John the Baptist was having a hard time reconciling that, okay, I'm working for the Lord. I'm the forerunner before Christ to get people prepared for Jesus. I'm doing all this work. Now I'm in prison. They tell me tomorrow they're going to chop my head off. That surely can't be the will of God. Shock. Shock factor, man. That's exactly what it is. Let's give it a big alert right here because this is going to get ugly. The next day, John the Baptist lost his head. It was hard for him because he thought, it surely can't go down this way, can it? Jesus, are you really who you said you was, or should we look for another? That's what he says. So see, there's characters all the way through the Bible, just like you and me. There's times in your life you wonder. You really sit back and like, maybe we could say it this way. There's doubt. There's times that you doubt, is this it? Like, God, I can't see it. And some people, like, they'll make bad decisions and get in a bad spot. They'll be like, Jesus, where are you? Even though you put yourself there, you doubt. And you're like, well, if Jesus was in this, I don't think I'd be here. Even though you might have got yourself there. Well, if he's God, he should have stopped me. That's the thing about God. He gives us a will. You don't see God forcing very many people to do anything. The only rock that God said he wasn't going to move is your heart. He wants to. He'll do everything he can. But you've got to make a decision to say, okay, God gives you a will. Jesus, here's what I'm going to tell you, is when we wonder, we can trust Jesus. It's okay to wonder. God will meet you in your doubt. Just push him on the thing. He'll meet you in that place. I want to show you something. If ever you take your Bibles and go to John chapter 13, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right there in the New Testament at the very beginning, John chapter 13. I love this. One of the things that really encourages me about Jesus Christ is, like, he shows us examples of this. And look at this. In John chapter 13, like, if you look at verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Simon Judas Iscariot to betray him. So guess what? The disciples were at the Last Supper. So the disciples are at supper, and Judas is getting ready to betray Jesus. If you go on down into the chapter, you'll find in verse 5, like, he starts, like, washing their feet. Jesus washes the disciples' feet. That's a cool story. I know that. I'm just giving you a few little highlights here. But you get down to verse 22. Well, let's go 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Look at verse 22. Then the disciples looked one another, doubting of whom he spake. There's not very many of them. He called 12 to this particular dinner. And out of 12 guys, they're all sitting around. It seems like all of them. You'll find out later, there's actually one of them that was real solid, John. But the rest of them are like, he said somebody's going to betray him. Like, they're in doubt. Now listen, let me give you some encouraging words today. He still called them disciples. They're followers. Like, they've already made a commitment. They got a relationship with Jesus at this point. And so disciples are sitting back like, really? What's? Remember Peter? Peter said, "I would never deny you." Well, three times. Peter denies the Lord. And then when Jesus resurrects from the grave, Peter sees Jesus, jumps in and gets to Jesus, right? And you would think right away Jesus would be like, "Okay, bend over, you're getting a spanking for that shenanigans you pulled. You know, thanks, where were you on that one?" You know, it wasn't like that at all. Or you would think he would just say, "Peter, I'll tell you right now, shame on you for what you didn't give him a good rebuking, you know. You need to ask me to forgive you." None of those words are said. Peter comes up and Jesus says, "Hey, Peter, do you love me?" He asked three times for an affirmation of his love. Because that's our Savior. You'd think Peter, "Oh, you deny the Lord three times?" A lot of times, there's a doctrine in the New Testament that we believe that's called eternal security. Like, you're secure. If you got the foundation, you're secure. Even if you don't build so well upon that foundation. Some people don't believe that. They actually like to pull a lot of works, business in there. And so Peter would be a perfect example. If anybody was going to lose their salvation, I would think Peter would be one of them. And yet Jesus meets him in this spot. And of course, Peter feels super terrible. So I just want to encourage you, still called disciples, even though they're in wonder. They just wonder. How does it, a lot of kids are like this. Guys, they're young. Their minds ain't even fully developed. I know adults like this. They're wondering. When things ain't going so well at home, like, is God real? Why would God allow this to happen to his parents? Of course, their parents sometimes feed them false information. So humans doubt and question. Jesus is all about faith and answers. So just to encourage you, to encourage myself, when we wonder, we can trust Jesus. Guys, I've studied the Bible for many years. I'm here to tell you, I still don't have all the answers. But I know the one who does. So guess what? When we wonder, we can trust Jesus. There's passages of the Bible. I'm like, I struggle even explaining it. Like, it's a hard passage of Scripture. You know what I do? I don't sit around and play or use Greek and Hebrew and act like I'm smarter than everybody else. I dig into the thing and just say, I'm not quite there yet. I believe this. And somebody will say, "What about this verse?" And I'm like, "Well, I'm struggling, but I'm telling you, I got 10 saying this is what it is, and this one is not. So I am not going to doubt in the dark what God's given me in the light." And that's exactly what this is. When we wonder, we can trust Jesus. And guys, I can tell you, I got saved as a 15-year-old boy in church camp. I went to a church camp all because my dad got disabled. I couldn't do what I wanted to do. Ended up at this church camp, and Jesus Christ got him a hold of my heart. I was 15 years old. I turned 55 years old this year. I'm here to tell you, I can give you not just what God's word said. I can now speak with a little bit of experience. He's worthy to be trusted. You can trust him. He's never failed me. I'm telling you, he's never failed me. And I've had doubts. I've wondered where he was at. I've wondered how it's going to turn out. But he's never failed. So number one, when we wonder, what? We can trust Jesus. Trust his word. Number two, now we're going to talk about the next night. It's this. When we feel alone. When we feel alone, we can trust Jesus. And I'll tell you guys, this is one that's, you can teach us all day long you want. But you know what? You really understand it. When you're alone. It just takes that. It takes the dark of the night when people have to sit in darkness. There's times I feel like I've been abandoned by the Lord. And I'm just telling you, you just someone's got to go through with that to know. And I want you to notice this. The next four are going to say this. When we feel alone, we can trust Jesus. What I like about the Bible is this is facts. It tends to remove feelings. But feelings are real. I think they're important. But we got to be careful, because what the enemy does in our flesh, we tend to get all wrapped up in our feelings, and it works, and all of a sudden our feelings become greater than the facts. Feelings are real. I'm not saying they're all wrong. Some of them are. Some feelings are false. They've been sold to you, and then people get wrapped up in their feelings and they create this anxious heart and they're scared and they live in this place, and all before you know it, they're on medicine and they got to talk to people and are like, and what they really need sometimes is a doctor probably to sit back and just say, what you need is a dose of reality. They need a dose of facts so facts can override those feelings. You ever seen there's just some people that like, you know, like, man, I am terrified of snakes. Yeah, you've probably been walking one day and you've seen like a 13-foot anaconda come across the street, and you're like, oh my gosh. You know, oh, you know, actually when I was in kindergarten, you know, I was like 5 years old, and this boa constrictor, like this thing was long, like 6 foot long. He grabbed a hold of my leg and started wrapping me up. I'm terrified, man. I'm absolutely terrified of him. Well, that didn't happen. No, seriously, I was walking down downtown Monmouth, and a king cobra rose up, looked me in the eye, shut my eyes, and then he struck me. It was god awful. You'll very rarely, if you meet one person in your life that can tell a story like that, you've got some lady or some guy that's really into adventure, man. I'm just here to tell you, most of the time people are terrified of them because they've seen a movie. You know, that's just unknown. You're in the dark, and so you get worried, and you're like, oh my gosh. And yet it is creepy because they're unpredictable, ain't they? Like when you see one, I'll admit it. I'll see a garter snake, you know, 12 inches long. I still, you know, I'm like in the yard. I'm like, I'm going to go over here and chop some wood, you know, for my fireplace. And I get my axe out, rip my shirt off, and then a 12-inch garter snake comes out, and I'm going, ah! Ah! What's wrong? I just seen a snake. He's not really poisonous enough to even affect me if he bit me 17 times. But I'm terrified. Why? Well, feelings. So I want you to know we're going to hear this a lot, because when I feel alone, a lot of times it is a feeling. And what we need is a dose of facts to help our feelings. I even would say you need a dose of facts before you take the pills. Our culture's addicted to pills today. Watch the pills, man. Watch the pills. Because you get an addiction in your life and you can't get off of them. And some people need some pills for certain things. I love doctors. I love modern medicine and technology. It's neat how it has advanced and done some real things. It's helped me. You know, don't you like that? You ever find yourself with a little bit of heartburn? All of a sudden you put this little bitty, like, I mean, it's just real little. You put it, I don't know what was in that. But I thank God for the lady that invented that thing, you know. Because I'm alive now. When we feel alone, we can trust Jesus. And of course, we're going to use the verse where Jesus says, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden. I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you some peace and put you at rest. I love the stories we're going to do where Jesus will teach about God's love. He's going to teach when people worry about, you know, food and raiment. And some people really worry about that. That's why our school system's here. They'll feed lunch to people. We do a PART program because there's some kids. My daughter's in the school, she's a teacher, and there's some kids that come in and you're just like, what's wrong with this kid? Like, what's wrong with this kid? He can't pay attention, he's not learning. What's wrong with this kid? And that's why most of the teachers, especially at the younger levels, they keep some healthier snacks in drawers just to say, he's hungry. He's just hungry. And so they give him a little food in the front, man, this kid's better. You know, or you get the kid that comes in, you're just like, why does this kid sleep every day? Is something wrong with him? Well, no, he don't have decent parents. He don't have structure in his life. He's not sleeping at nighttime, you know? And so, but when we feel alone, when you lack food or raiment, all of a sudden you get down to the end of that, and Matthew chapter 6 is the famous verse that says, no, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then all these things he'll add unto you. He'll give you those. He'll be a provider for you. So I like that as we teach this, we're going to teach the story of like Jesus Christ. He'll leave the 99 to save the one. Because when you got a flock, we're made to flock together. Human beings are made to flock together. We're better together. So when somebody gets alone, if you'll find people that get on dope, heavy dope, or if they get really, really depressed, one of the greatest characteristics they do is they get alone. They separate from the crowd. They're alone. I know guys that have done dope before. You walk up, windows, blinds. I've seen people put aluminum foil over the windows to not let 1 ounce of light come in because they're in darkness and they're all alone. You know, and some of them even choose to be at that point in their life. So what I like about this night is when you feel alone, and a lot of people do, a lot of children do. Guys, I'm at a church camp, and there was a handful of guys that came. Not all of them were churchy people, but I noticed this much. Like, one guy made some decisions for Christ. I said, hey, man, come here. I put my arms on this kid, and when I grabbed him, I held him, and you know what he did? He was crying, and then he was, like, embarrassed. He tried to pull away from me. I pulled him a little bit closer. I said, dude, it's good, man. It's all good. That's right. That's Larry. It's all good. It's all good. I said, let that stuff out, you know. And then you know what he did the next 3 days? Every day I noticed like he'd want to come near me. He's hanging with me. I just reach up sometimes, slap him on the shoulder. You know what I was doing? That physical touch is pretty powerful. It's powerful. And I could tell he wanted it. And a lot of them there was like that. And so Jesus Christ recognized at the very beginning with Adam, he says, it's not good that man should be alone. And he actually created a help meet for him, the Bible says. I love the verses about Jesus Christ because if we know them and really believe them, it says, hey, I will never leave you or forsake you. Guys, I have a nephew. Of course, my brother died of a heroin overdose. His mother died of the same thing. Had to be raised by grandparents, my mom and dad. My dad was the only man in his life, and my dad was disabled. My dad passed away. Now he's living in a home. When I say home, it sounds like I was talking about an institution or something. No, he's living in a house with my mom, and he's older in life. And my mom's getting older, and I had to ask him while I was up there. I said, hey, a question, what are you going to do when she passes away? And you know what he said? He said, I'm screwed. He's special needs. He don't think exactly like you and me do, but he's very high functioning. Actually, he's wicked smart. All those things are there. But it's just like socially, sometimes you don't quite get everything. And you know what I had to do? I got the opportunity to just say, hey, dude, I am your uncle. We're blood. You think I'm going to leave you alone? Really? Do you think I would leave you struggling? I said, I wouldn't sell my house, my truck, to gather some cash to help anybody on the planet, but I would for you. And it was neat to see his face light up. And I thought, my gosh, Jesus, there's been many a times in my life I've been alone. I've called human beings to help me through a situation, and they weren't available. And I got to a spot. I'm here to tell you, we can trust Jesus. We can trust him. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. I'm trying not to be, I like to be in one passage so we can just stay there, and I like the stories that's told. Today's a little different. So if you hit Ephesians 1:13, Ephesians 1 and verse 13, it says, watch this, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were, watch, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So what we got is God sent Jesus to the planet. He died and was buried and resurrected. But the third member of that Trinity, the Holy Spirit, if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, that sinners die. Sinners burn in hell is what the Bible says. That's hardcore. People don't talk to that message anymore. Fire and brimstone is not a popular message. That's the Bible message, but people don't like to say it. So you trust in Jesus with your sin. He'll take your sin. He buried it, and then he resurrected. If you trust him, he died for you and he died as you, right? So hell's not part of your future. And so all of a sudden, you accept Jesus. Here it says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now we say it this way. Hey man, do you got Jesus in your heart? It's a good question. But technically, theologically, it would be God's Holy Spirit that would move in and be the seal of your salvation. Did you notice that? Whom you trusted, Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit moves inside, and he's there to never leave. So when Jesus says, I'll never leave you, if he left you, he would leave himself. He would abandon himself, 1 Timothy says. He ain't going to do that. You start realizing something. This becomes, it's not about your faith as much as about his faithfulness. There's a big difference there. And I'm not, we need faith. But hey, go over to chapter 4, Ephesians. Just go over to chapter 4. Notice what it says in verse 30. He says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit of God's inside of you. So if you do unholy activities, you grieve the ones inside of you. This is why I think a lot of Christians are not clinically depressed. I think you're living a nasty life. You claim to be saved, you ain't going to sleep well at nighttime. You're grieving him. He's inside of you, and he's grieved. Watch what it says here, though. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. That seal you got at salvation, don't grieve him. Don't grieve him and make your life miserable, but you're sealed to the day of what? Redemption, when your body's going to be changed. At the day of death. So I just like this passage because it's like he seals you with the Holy Spirit. He's never going to leave you alone. Now, you know we're not going to take a second grader tonight and teach him the doctrine of eternal security. You know, let's open up the Bible, the book of Ephesians. I want to talk to you, son, about what a seal is. And, you know, that's not going to happen because they're going to be young. So we're going to present it that, you know what? When you feel alone, you can trust in Jesus. We can trust in Jesus. You know what I love about that? Jesus becomes our foundation. He puts stability inside of us. Now when my world gets unstable, and listen, folks, it will get unstable. I got a peace. I got a stability. I got a Savior on the inside. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When the world spins upside down, you know, by the way, it's spinning so fast right now, we're lucky it's so busy or so big or we'd all be you know, messed up. Really, this thing's moving at a crazy rate. Everything's moving. Things are unstable. And yet all of a sudden God provides a little source of gravity and it's pulling down. It's like kind of miraculous when you start really investigating the thing. So let me tell you this much. When we feel alone, we can trust in Jesus. Everybody repeat after me. When we feel alone, we can trust Jesus. So, and that's what we're going to teach second night. The third night is this. When we feel powerless, we can trust Jesus. When we feel powerless. And we have a memory verse that night, and it's going to be awesome. But we're also going to see this is when there's going to be several stories. A Roman officer is going to come and basically that trust Jesus Christ. There's going to be there's a servant that's homesick and he wants to get him healed. And you just feel, I remember my daughter got cancer. I'm just like, I fix everything. I mean, cuts, bruises, scabbed up knees, I can get involved in all that stuff. Get your feelings hurt at school, girl drama, we've had a lot of that through the years. And I can like get involved in it. Men want to fix things, right? Because I frequently get told this, I didn't want you to fix it. I just wanted you to listen to me. I'm like, all right. Took me many years to figure that one out, you know. But anyways, when we feel powerless, you go up to the room and they say, your daughter's got cancer and here's the issues. Boy, what a day where I was just like, I am powerless. I had a very wealthy man call me up and just said, what can he do? I know your wife's going to have to quit her job. What kind of money do you need? And of course, St. Jude's kicked in because she was a child and I was able to say, if you gave me $3 million, we would be in these same shoes. Except I would be driving a nice leather interior truck. You know, we would have a nicer home if you gave me $3 million. But right now in the situation we're in, I said, we are powerless. We can trust Jesus. That's all we had to do. That's all we had. The Bible says his strength is perfect in our weakness. So just to let you know that sometimes you never will know how powerful he is until you are powerless. You know how they say some people have to hit rock bottom to figure out that rock is Jesus Christ at the bottom. That's the foundation. your world tears apart, and all of a sudden somebody's like, yeah, she needs to hit rock bottom. I know what people are saying there. But if you know Jesus Christ, he is the rock. We got a foundation. I mess up sometimes. I build things wrong. So I just want you to know that out of weakness, the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it's the chapter of faith. And as it carries on, it just says, and a lot of people, and it says this, out of weakness, they were made strong. But it was through weakness that you had this great strength. So when we're powerless, we can trust Jesus, right? We can trust him. He knows best. Take your Bibles. In the Old Testament, there's the book of Joshua. So you get the first five books, right, up through Deuteronomy, and just flip right past that, and you'll hit the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 10. This is just a neat passage where I wish I could preach this thing. I preached it a lot this week at this camp. But in Joshua chapter 10, like, look at verse 11. There's a battle that took place. And it says, verse 11, it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in going down to Beth Horon that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekai, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. There was a battle, and God told them he'd fight for them, but they still had to step on the battlefield. They stepped out there with their swords. They started going to battle. And all of a sudden, bowling balls started dropping from the sky. But not on Israel, on the enemy. So guess what? Joshua chapter 10 and verse 11, more died of hailstones that day than they died of the sword. Sometimes you have to get in a spot in your life where you're so weak, where you're powerless. But listen, you can trust Jesus, gang. We can trust that book right there. That's why we take, get in the Bible every day. Read the Bible every morning. I hope your feeding is just not here at church. Walk with Jesus. Speak to him. We're high on discipleship because we teach people that, how to grow up. You're spiritually a baby. Quit being a baby spiritually. Start learning the Bible and grow up, and you'll learn when you're powerless, we can trust Jesus, right? So that's what we say. And a lot of, I remember, you know, whatever we was doing in life, most people would say this. You know, we hear in our culture, hell yeah. That's what people say all the time. Like, man, we could take these guys. We're playing football. And they say, what? Hell yeah. What's that mean? What it should be for you and me as Christians, we come Wednesday night to prayer, and what we say is, instead of hell yeah, we say, hail stones. Hail stones. Meaning, God, you got to come through and do this. We don't have enough swords among us to fix this thing, right? Doesn't it feel weird when you hear that our country sent some serious firepower and bombed Iran? You hear these things, and you're like, oh my. And I know what we're aiming for in the new, I get all that. Like, I know what happens, and it's crazy to me. And, you know, people are like, you know, thinking, man, Trump's a bad man, isn't he? You know, we got to pray for our president. I don't care if you like him or not. We pray for whoever's in that office, the Bible says, so that we can live a peaceable life and the gospel can go forward. But guys, it tends to leave you in a spot. And do you realize this week, we don't know what's going to unfold in the news. I don't know what ever will be done. And we hate war. Nobody likes war. But you have to have a battle before you get peace. Jesus Christ went to war, bled and died for you and me. So that what? I could be made whole. That's how war works. That's how peace works in nations. I understand it. And you'd think, can't we all just get along? And the answer to that question is, nope. It's the way human beings are. I mean, study the nature all through the Bible. It's a very bloody book. I don't like what's happened. There might be some kids that come in if they've got a mom or a dad that's really anxious. And all of a sudden, they're at home watching Fox or CNN, whatever they're doing. And it's always on. You're just like, oh my gosh, we bombed some place. And you're a little kid. Guys, I'm an adult man. And I'm like, man, I kind of feel powerless here. I didn't pull no lever. Nobody asked me about pushing a button. But there are people that know more and got more power in that department than me. You kind of feel powerless, don't you? And somebody would say, man, I'm really glad we did that to Iran because they're dangerous people. And I understand that too. But then you got the person over here just like, I don't know why we do this. We're causing problems. You know, we should have just stayed out. You know, you got all these sides, but it leaves you in a spot. I hope we just say, well, when you're powerless, we can trust Jesus. I don't know how this thing's going to go down. I really don't. Because you really just want, like all enemies, anybody that's a danger, you want evil done away with. And there's a lot of evil there. That's why a lot of that happened. But it's crazy. If you read scripture and the prophets, the Bible says what's good, we turn bad. What's bad is what we turn good. That's why people are looking for something to hang the problem on. And all of us know the name Trump, so it's just an easy one. Poor guy. Hey, welcome to being the president. Welcome to leadership. He's in charge. We placed him there. And somebody, I didn't place him. Well, he's there. So now as Christians, what we do, our biblical response is to pray. But I will tell you right now, in this room, we should feel pretty powerless over the situation. But we can trust Jesus. Trust him, guys. I don't know what the future is going to look like here. And, you know, you guys remember that. We've all been there. Remember 9/11? I remember exactly where I was at that day. Speaking of feeling powerless, and I got to watch things unfold. It was on our territory. Man, that was like a weird time. COVID hit. I told my daughter, she goes, Dad, I think they're going to cancel school and make us all stay in our homes. I said, this is the United States of America. I said, they'll never do that. 2 days later, she was home. A week later, teaching little kids on Zoom. And I was just like, I mean, just me and Bo work here. So I'm just like, hey, Bo, I can't come into work today. The COVID virus, you know. He's like, well, I'm here. Oh, okay, I'll be there in 10. You know, so, but it's crazy, isn't it, when you feel powerless? Just remember there's some little kids, and we're not going to talk about these things, but you might have just a little smart kid just say, you know, we bombed, you know, we said, you know, other little kids are like, what? You know, just we're aware of it. Hey, when we feel powerless, there's one with greater power than us. We can trust him. Hailstones, hailstones, hailstones. Fourth night of VBS, when we need hope, we can trust Jesus. Anybody need some hope in the room today? Can you ever get enough hope? My gosh, when we need hope, this is the night where we're going to talk about the resurrection of Jesus. He's dying for the sins of the world to give us hope. So we'll get to really talk about the gospel and Jesus dying, buried, and getting resurrected. It's a great passage of scripture in Matthew 26 through the end of Matthew. So I want you to know this. The Bible speaks, I'm rushing here, but let me just give it to you. The Bible speaks of two feelings that you're going to have when you don't have hope. The Bible says two feelings in the New Testament. One is you're most miserable. If you only have hope in Jesus in this life, it's talking about the resurrection. There's misery. And then the other thing the Bible says is in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, when you have no hope, it brings intense sorrow. Christian funerals, there should be a joyous occasion. Now anybody dies today and they say, let's have a celebration of life. Well, if you're pretty sure that your Uncle Johnny never met Jesus Christ, and he lived a heck of a life, you do know where he's probably at. Now, God knows a man's heart. I don't know that. I'm just letting you know. Without Jesus Christ, the Bible says, your eternity, there's two options here, right? You see it from Genesis on. You'll just see it. It keeps talking about good, evil. It gives you two eternities. And so he's probably in hell. Like, we don't like to think of things that way. Because what do we like to do? We like to act like, no, everybody. Well, everybody says this. Every funeral I've been to just says, well, I'm glad he's in a better place. And I'm always back like, I don't know. I hope that somebody talked to him. I hope that somebody gave him the word of truth. He might have been a 13-year-old boy at a camp in West Virginia. Said, Jesus, I think I need this. And then he, at that point, might have went wayward. I don't know. But I'm just here to tell you, people fool themselves. People have sorrow. People end up being very miserable. That's when they have no hope. Hope is lost. And even death. Like, we know that grandma's going to die. We know that. It still hurts. It gets closer and closer. Then you hate to see the health failing. And then we pray for healing. You know, it's weird, but you pray even though there's a 91-year-old and you know it's just coming towards the end. There's a finish line. The human race can't carry on forever. We know these things, but isn't it weird how our feelings play into it? I've had people at prayer ask, hey, can you please pray for my grandma? She's not doing so good. She had a stroke. Well, what do you want to pray? And a lot of people pray that she'd be healed and that she could come back home. She's 94. That's our feelings. Nobody wants death, right? Right? By the way, don't tell that story tonight at VBS. We're just adults and we can deal with it. Well, kind of. But we need hope. Without hope, we're miserable. Without hope. You ever been in a spot in life? I've only been here a few times in my life where you see no light. You're in a spot and you're like, can't do nothing. I see no hope. How am I going to? Well, I'll tell you, the Bible says this. Colossians 1:27, if Christ is in you, that's the hope of glory. 1 Timothy 1:1 says, Christ, which is our hope. Jesus is hope. You meet Jesus, you know hope. I had a cousin named Hope. Ain't that a crazy name? I had an aunt that was doing drugs, and she named her kids Faith, Hope, and then her third kid was born, and she named that kid Annette. I don't know what happened there. She lost her way, I think. No, I'm not lying. She was a drug addict. She had a boy. His name was Billy. Like, okay. But I used to call her Hope. Hope was a person. She was a good cousin to me, a lot older than me, actually. Took care of me a few times when I was little. And so I just want you to know Jesus Christ is hope. Hope's a person. It's for real. When we need hope, and we need hope on this planet, we can trust Jesus. So that'll be night four. And you know how we're going to finish VBS? When we need help. Everybody repeat after me. When we need help, we can trust Jesus. We need help. You see it all through the Bible. In Joshua 10, Gibeon actually, the Gibeonites, they were just like, the five kings came against him, and they're just like, Joshua, help us. Joshua's a picture of Jesus in the New Testament. You get in trouble, and people sometimes cry out. That's why trouble's a good thing. We all hate trouble, but trouble a lot of times points us to true north. You notice that? When you get to wandering, it takes trouble sometimes. You're like, yeah, he's just doing his own thing. She's just buck wild, doing and going wherever she wants to do. All of a sudden, you get in a little bit of trouble, and you're like, Mom! You know, you're always looking for something solid in your life. True north. It's Jesus. A lot of times, it takes trouble. Gibeon cries out, help. Joshua helped. Psalms 30, David cries and says, Lord, be my helper. So we're going to teach it when you need help. And guys, at times in our life, and I love it because Jesus a lot of times helps us in here through the church. We're the church. We're the body of Christ. So Jesus will bring help, but he might do it through somebody else. That's what happens here all the time. We got kids. We're getting ready to go to church camp here in a little bit. We've got some kids that ain't going to be able to go because it's cost like $250, I think, for camp. Well, we got to drive 5 hours away. You know, we're going to feed them for so many days, and they got to stay, and it's going to be nice for them, great activities. It just costs money. That's what it costs, and that's what the church pitching in about $3,000 on this whole deal. It just costs, but you know what? I love it. Jesus is going to send some kids to camp because you and me, we're going to get forward and just say, they need camp. This girl needs camp. We're going to find the money. So Jesus, we need help. Sometimes the help is going to come through his body, the church, right? So when we need help, we can trust Jesus. So guys, the whole theme this week is this. We can trust Jesus. That's the theme of VBS. Guys, we can trust him. And we're going to look at different scenarios and Bible stories of when you wonder, when there's doubt. We're going to have all this working. When you need help, right? When you feel alone, all these things are going to happen. So check this out. Here's me. And just say, here's my God. Here's Jesus over here. But over here's enemies or a heap of problems, right? So do you got it? Here's me, there's enemies, there's Jesus. The question is, who's bigger? Who's bigger? Well, we know that. We know what the word says. But when you feel alone, when you're depressed, when things get dark, you know how it is, gang. You can't see the light. I mean, it's over you. It's looming on you. And it just seems like, God, where are you? You're so small. Scripture tells us, though, he's bigger. Hey, just read the word. You know one reason I read the word? Jesus says, let there be light in the midst of a bunch of darkness and lit the whole planet up. He's big. There was a universal flood once. The earth got so wicked, God's like, you know, I'm just going to flush it down the toilet. And he did. In the midst of a toilet flush, he saved one man and his family. That's a miracle, too. Whole nation was hungry in the wilderness. He drops food from heaven. Boy, is he big. A whole nation. They were thirsty in a desert. Water came out of a rock. Man, is he big. They needed a pathway, and they're like, we can't get through now. Why can't you get through? It's water. We can't cross this water with all our kids. It's too deep. All these people seen the ocean floor. And the ocean floor became like a road of asphalt. The Bible's incredible. Snatched people from a fiery furnace. Lions' mouths were closed. You read these stories and you realize, who did that? God did. Who did that? God did. How did leprosy disappear? God did that. God did. He's bigger than leprosy. Different than ailments and diseases and blindness and people that were demon-possessed. Who's bigger? It didn't feel bigger, but he is bigger. He calmed storms. He took a few fish and bread, said, let's feed some people, and multiplied it. This is who, he's big. Prison doors opened. What? Yeah, God is just that big. So what we're going to do at VBS is we're going to show him Jesus is greater. He's bigger. Yeah, but what? You know how Israel was? They went and God said, I'm going to deliver you, send you to the promised land. They get over and they're like, man, they're so big. We're like grasshoppers in their sights. Oh, they lost sight of how big God was. Joshua and Caleb tried to tell them, and they wouldn't listen. There was a man named Tancredo Neves. I'm probably saying that wrong, but he, in the 1980s, ran for presidency in Brazil. He said this one night, the night of the election, votes were coming. He said, if 500,000 votes come from our party, our political party, he said, not even God himself can stop me from being president. The count wasn't even in yet. He said, it's a landslide. Let's go home. The next day he was found dead. I always wonder if that was a personal challenge. God said, really? You said that to a whole nation of people? I don't know. I just want you to know that God's big. And if I could even tell you, not just how special you are, but how God, big God is, the fact that you're in this room today, you know when a husband and wife come together and they get intimate? Like, she's got the soil, or the egg, you know, and this guy, right, he's got the sperm. I know this ain't supposed to be sex education, but here's what's crazy. Do you know when they come together and the act happens? It's got to happen just at the right moment in time. Because there's only a certain time where that egg can actually be fertilized. Like a certain time, usually monthly, there's a certain time. But when this act happens, you just think, hey, there ain't one tadpole coming after it. There's up to 1.4 billion at a time. And out of this great race that happens, it takes the right moment in time and one winner. One out of a billion. Like, you have a better chance of getting struck with lightning probably this week. So that way, when anybody's born in the world like you or me, you're a miracle, man. How that thing happened is miraculous. It's absolutely miraculous. So the fact that you're sitting here today, I would say that, my gosh, God must love you to come here and hear a word. You know what he wants to say to you today? Hey, you can trust me. I don't know what you're going through. You can trust me, man. Yeah, but you don't understand, man. I've seen a lot of bad things. I used to go to church. You know, church people, all... I get it. We got that kind of slime in this place because we're human. It's everywhere, right? But you are a miracle. And I'm here to tell you, the Bible says if God is for us, who? Who? Who that? When I went to school, who that say we're going to beat those Cardinals? Who that? Who that? That's what that was a little cheer we had, you know, in our cheering section in high school. Who that? Nobody's going to stand against us. Nobody. I'm just here to tell you that's how big our God is. We got to believe that so tonight we can tell a group of young people, not just to have fun. They're not coming to the circus tonight. You know where they're really coming? They're coming to church. We're going to teach them God's word tonight in the midst of having fun, eating crazy things, and playing games. All of that is going to happen. But I just want you to know you can trust God. Anybody in here feel powerless? You can trust Jesus. You feel you can trust you. That's what the Bible says. Man, you need help. You can trust you. A little lack of hope in your life. Marriage not looking so well. I get it. You can trust Jesus. I'm not saying you can always trust her. I'm not saying you can always trust him. But you can trust Jesus. He never fails. He's the same all the time, right? Big plans means you got a big God. You pray big prayers, you got a big God. That, you know what that tells me? Your true north is fixed. It's fixed. It don't move. Life moves. So every situation I get into, even as a church, we're like, we don't know what to do next. What are we going to do? We always know what to do. True north. It don't change. We're going to God and His Word. That, we're going to seek Him. Now, I'm not saying I don't know how the situation will unfold. But I got news. If it goes south or if that situation goes north, Jesus ain't changing. His Word's true. And I can trust it. So I want you to know that today and believe it today. So when we come in tonight, we believe it. I know it. And you can have little stories of your own. I hope you have stories that you can tell even children tonight about that. But God's reputation is at stake tonight, not ours. His faithfulness is at stake tonight, not my faith. I'm bringing that to the table and say, oh no, here it is right here. So let's go to the Lord in prayer right now and give tonight to Him. You ready? Everybody bow your heads. God loves you so much. I want everybody to know in this room that God loves you, the Bible says, so much that He, instead of condemning you in your sin, like sin does, it makes all of us, we're going to die. He gave us life. He sent Jesus Christ in our place, and He took the payment for us. So if you can trust Jesus, then that means He took the weight. He bore the burden there. So we need Jesus. God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. Whosoever should believe in Him, right? You won't perish. You'll have everlasting life. I believe this. It's the story of the Bible. We got a true north, right? The Bible is true. So I'm going to put the word out there for those of you that are saying, I've never had a true north. I'm not sure I've ever really met Christ. I'm not asking you if you went to church. I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. I'm not asking you if you give money to this church. None of those questions are irrelevant. They're not relevant now. They're irrelevant. So the real question is, do you have a true north? Meaning, have you ever met Jesus Christ? The Bible says there's a way to do that. By faith, you put your faith and trust in Him. Scripture's really plain about that. I'd like you to see that. So if you're sitting in this room right now and you're saying, I need Jesus, I want you to raise your hand. And I'm going to have somebody take the Bible and show you. There's a couple rooms back in the back. You can go in privacy, look what God's Word says, and you can meet Him today. Is there anybody in here that would say, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I know Jesus. I'm not asking if your life's in shambles. Because I don't care if you're doing fantastic today. I don't care if you think my life is good. You end up dying off this planet and don't know Jesus, your life will no longer be good. So is there anybody in here that would say, I need a Savior? Let me know. Just raise your hand.